The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart.
Sam!
Very important, Effie. Write this down. Are you ready?
Sam, you know I always have paper and pencil ready.
Ingredients, colon.
I know how to take notes, Sam.
It's not punctuation. It's an ingredient.
I don't understand. What is this, Sam?
Recipe. 1 pound of fennel.
Oh, I know. That's liquid measure.
No, you put that in later.
Cross out fuddle?
Fennel, and it's not liquid. It grows at Fairly Pines.
Fairly what, Sam?
One root of St. John's wort.
Whose wharf?
Not wharf, wart. Don't interrupt. Some newt's eyes. Couple of pounds ought to be about enough. Some bat's wool. One adder's fork. That is not a utensil. One fillet of fenny snake. Some lizard's legs. And one hemlock root, which has been dug up in the dark. Directions? Into the poisoned entrails, throw the toad that under cold stone has stayed days, which number 31. And if anyone shows up for trick-or-treat, Effie, give them a sample serving.
Oh, Sam, now I get it. This is Halloween, and that's a witch's brew. You were only fooling.
You think, sweetheart. Get out your cauldron, your poison pen, and your book of malefactions. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the All Hallows Eve caper, or, as it turned out, I was only fairly bright.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and Richard Scott, radio's outstanding producer of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with The Adventures of Sam Spade, presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. So now, with Gene DeCarto starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Is that the wind dying? Oh, no, it is but two devils who blow through a murderer's bones to and fro as the ghosts in the light of the moon do but shine brightly.
Oh, Sam! Take off that mask. You look ridiculous. You look about as much like a demon as a...
As a blonde Satan, yes, I know. Now, fly your broomstick over to my desk, Effie, and let us weave a magic spell. And just what is that thing on my desk? It looks like a pumpkin.
It's a jack-o'-lantern. I made it this afternoon. Here, I'll light it.
Well, isn't that cute?
Well, thank you, Sam.
Eyes and nose and mouth. Looks just like Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide.
Sam!
Date, the eve of All Saints' Day, 1948, to Hillary Bright, Esquire, number 13, Black Place, City of St. Francis, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596, subject, the All Hallows' Eve caper. It was a fairly bright afternoon for the fog-bound Bay Area. There was no frost upon the pumpkin. In fact, as yet, there were no pumpkins, at least none that I could see. I did see a black cat and several wolf girls during the bus ride down the peninsula to your client's estate, known as Fairly Pines. A bat flew out of a tree as I walked up the long driveway from the road to the house. In the gathering dusk, I also observed a toad, a lizard, and a hooty owl, which, if memory serves, are staple ingredients for a witch's brew. And then I observed, hobbling out of the forest, an authentic hag. She was wearing a dusty black robe, a peaked black hat, and her matted gray hair indeed coiled serpent-like about her evil countenance. She leaned on a gnarled staff of hemlock, fixed her yellow glittering eyes upon me, and said...
Hello there, kiddo.
Yes, ma'am.
Which way's the house?
Which house?
Fairly Pines. I've gone and lost my bearings.
You don't say...
I was looking for some fennel.
I see.
I found some bat's wool and some newt's eggs. I couldn't find no adder's fork. I reckon this here copper's head'll do the trick right now.
And just what are you doing with all that stuff?
It's for the brew. I'm the witch they hired for the night. Gutch is the name. Elvira Gutch. Spells cast for any occasion. Look at that one on my nose.
Which one? Well, anyway, the house. It's up that way.
Mind if I walk along? with you, pretty boy.
Okay, it's all right, but I'm not much for girls.
Well, there's no need to be afeard. There be any demons hereabouts, I'll just give them a whiff of my brimstone.
Yeah, well, don't stand quite so close. I think I just got a whiff of it.
You coming to the party, Sonny?
I'm not quite sure.
You don't want to miss it. I promised him a genuine manifestation and the scream of a soul in torment at the witching hour.
Oh, yeah, that'll be nice.
Fiddle, fiddle, where might I find some
fresh? Who goes there? Halt or shoot. Who is that? And just what is your hurry, sir?
Tell me, where do I find Mr. Hillary Bright?
Oh, are you the detective they hired for the night?
That's right. The name is Sam Spade.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Homer Langdon, attorney for the Fairley Estate. Come along, I'll take you to see Hillary. Sorry for that challenge just now, but I've been hearing strange noises around the grounds tonight.
You mean this doesn't go on all the time?
Why, you notice anything peculiar as you came up the road?
Yeah, well, now that you mention it, there was an old lady. I use the term loosely.
And she was looking for Fettle?
The very same.
That's the witch. Mr. Bright hired her for the party tonight.
Takes her work rather seriously, doesn't she?
Well, you know how it is. Seasonal work.
I see. And what does she do between seasons?
Probably hibernates.
Homer? Homer?
Oh, no. There's Ophelia.
Ophelia?
She's Mrs. Fairley Spade. She's a bit eccentric.
Oh, there you are, Homer. Now, what was it I wanted to talk to you about? Let me see. Oh, yes, the man from the caterers. I'm glad he's finally arrived.
Hey-ho, Ophelia, this is Mr. Spade.
Yes, well, about that recipe for the aspic. The cook says he's never heard of putting fennel and lizard's claws in a tomato aspic. And Mr. Bright says that the hemlock is poison.
I'm afraid you've got things a bit mixed up, Mrs. Fairley. That's the recipe for the witch's brew.
Yes, well, anyway, the grocer says he doesn't stock them, so you have to garnish it with parsley.
Ophelia, he's not the caterer. He's a detective.
Oh, my word. Well, young man, be sure you keep your eyes on the pumpkins and the mice, you know.
Mice?
Oh, you know, mice and pumpkins. Pumpkins and mice. Now, where is that witch?
Oh, a sad case, Spade, a sad case. And with all her money. But then she's harmless enough, I guess. Here we are.
Now, watch his jawbone, Wilma. Be careful now, you've already broken his neck.
Oh, why didn't you bring an assistant? I don't like hanging him in the house anyway. After all, we don't even know who he was.
What are they up to now?
Halloween comes but once a year.
Oh, I see. It's a skeleton. Part of the decoration. Say, Hillary.
Yes, Homer?
I couldn't find the witch, but here's the detective.
Oh, my. Yes. Yes. Well, you can have the witch. I'll take him.
Ooh, watch what you're doing, Wilma. You've let go of the ladder.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my. Yes, I guess that just about does it. I believe the arrangements are finally complete. Oh, allow me to introduce you properly. Miss Wilma Fairley, for whom I'm managing this nauseous ball, this is Mr. Sam Spade.
Now, Hillary, is that any way to speak about a girl's fifth engagement party?
Well, forgive me if I'm guilty of understatement. Oh, Wilma, fix that wire. The top of Frankenstein's head is caving in. And look at that, the bolts are coming out of his neck already. Oh, God. Well, come along, Spade. I'll tell you how you fit into this mess.
See you at the party, Sam.
In here, Spade. At least we'll have some privacy.
I don't think we're quite alone, are we?
Well, practically. This is Wilma Fairley's fiancé, number 5. Randolph J. Cram III, by name. Wake up, Randolph.
Never mind. Not on my account. He started the party a little early, didn't he?
Before lunch. But tell me now, can you blame him? I mean, if I were in his situation, I'd be out staggering around the woods with that witch.
All right, and just exactly what is my part in all of this, Mr. Bright?
I want you to stay for this miserable party tonight and pretend to have a good time.
Then why didn't you hire an actor?
Well, you see, it's not quite that simple. Even I have a unique problem here, a Halloween party combined with the party announcing the engagement of a socially prominent young woman, you see?
No.
Well, naturally, the press will be on hand. They always are at my parties. But I doubt if any of the invited guests will show up. And that's where you come in. You are one of the uninvited guests.
I still don't get it.
Very simply this. I have a reputation to maintain. Perhaps you have overlooked the society pages of the San Francisco papers of late, so I will have to educate you in this matter. I believe some ill-informed columnists have been referring to me as the male Elsa Maxwell. That's not true at all. Elsa Maxwell is the female Hillary Bright. Are you with me so far?
All right, so you're a professional party giver, is that it?
Exactly.
So what's the matter with Wilma? Why won't anybody come to her party?
Because everyone on the guest list is either a relative or a friend of some poor swain she has jilted on the very steps of the altar.
Uh-huh. Now I'm beginning to get it.
Exactly. My problem is what to do for the party. The answer is all too obvious. A masquerade, naturally. What else can you have on Halloween?
Okay, that figures.
Yes, and if anyone came, they would probably be dressed as witches or pumpkins, which is dull enough in itself. But the Fairleys and their immediate circle will probably trot out their old moth-eaten Beaux-Arts ball costumes. Old Homer Langdon as Louis the 14th. Wilma and her mother trying desperately to look like Greek goddesses in something left over from Isadora Duncan.
So?
Well, don't you see? My reputation. Life magazine is planning to cover this. Not to mention the local press. I simply had to do something. I think it's the party idea of the year. 20 uninvited guests who will come as themselves.
And who's my date? The witch?
Oh, isn't she priceless? You know, I thought of burning her at the stake as the grand climax of the evening.
I've got some matches.
No, I've decided against it. Too messy.
Yeah, well, this is a little out of my line. Besides, I get $400 a day plus expenses.
Now, just a minute. Hear me out. There's method to my madness. I believe I mentioned 20 uninvited guests.
Who are coming as themselves, yes.
Exactly. Well, I've gone to a great deal of trouble and expense getting together a most colorful group. All authentic types. A gangster, a shrimp fisherman, a swami, 3 bubble dancers.
3?
A gypsy, a paroled axe murderer, a sandhog. Oh, that reminds me. I must see if the blubber arrived for the Eskimo they're flying down from Nome.
Yeah, well, it sounds like loads of fun, Mr. Bright, but I'm afraid you called the wrong detective. Besides, I get $600 a day plus expenses.
What I'm getting at, Mr. Spade, is that with a collection of people like that, anything might happen.
Why didn't you just invite the local police force?
Oh, they're coming all right. In uniform, naturally.
Good, then you won't need me. Besides, I get $800 a day, plus expenses.
Mr. Spade, at the last party our chief attended, our guests were held up and robbed of $50,000 worth of jewelry. Including, I might add, the chief's own gold badge. So, you see, we really do need you.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, just go back to sleep, Randolph. It's only the guests arriving.
I get $1,000 a day plus expenses. You were right. You did need a detective. In fact, you could have used several. First, the pickpocket you invited lifted the police chief's wallet. The axe murderer chased the witch up a tree. Then the gangster and the cowboy tried to shoot it out over one of the bubble dancers. After I'd foiled the safecracker in the act of blowing up the vault in the library, things seemed to quiet down a bit. Someone lit a match to a huge pile of wood which had been prepared out back, and everyone gathered around the bonfire.
All right, quiet down, everyone. Quiet down, Mrs. Fairley. Ophelia?
She was here just a few minutes ago.
Have you seen her around, Langdon?
I saw her a few minutes ago. She said she had a headache and was going up to the house for an aspirin.
Sam, I'm worried about Mother. Would you mind going into the house and see what she's up to? She's been behaving so strangely tonight.
She's been behaving strangely.
Please, Sam.
Oh, sure, Wilma. I'll be right back.
Come on, everyone. Let's get on with it now. Oh, witch. Mrs. Witch.
Here I be. Yes.
All right, now, you stand over here.
Yes.
No, bring your broom. That's it. Don't look so pleasant. You're supposed to be evil.
Yes. Beware if there be any present who are non-believers. Let them be subject to the watts of the great toad.
I left reluctantly, fearing I'd miss the manifestation. But I hoped I'd be back in time for the scream of the soul in torment the witch had promised earlier in the evening. Once in the house, I climbed the stairs to the second floor, started checking the rooms. I found Wilma's fiancé, Randolph J. Cram, asleep in one of them, but still no Ophelia. In one of the bedrooms, I found something that puzzled me. A rope made up of bedsheets dangled out of the window. But the window was closed. I walked over and opened it.
There's blood on the stone. There's blood in the cauldron.
The witch was still at it. I couldn't see the festive little group around the bonfire, but where the firelight glowed on the tree trunks at the edge of the woods, I saw a white-robed figure crouching in the shadows. And then I heard it.
Heard them all in the house, Monahan. Don't let any of them get away.
Right, Chief. All right, folks. You have to come this way.
It's Wilma, Spade.
No.
Somebody shot her.
She was sprawled on her face near the foot of a big pine tree at the edge of the clearing. A single slug had entered the body just below the left shoulder blade. My first thought was that if this was part of your Halloween production, it had been overdone just a bit. She was dead. As nearly as I could reconstruct it, Wilma had been standing outside the circle of people grouped around the fire, as if somebody in the woods had called to her and she left the others to investigate. She had been facing the fire when she was shot. And what about the two shots that missed her? If the killer had been aiming at her and missed, he couldn't have avoided hitting somebody else in the crowd. I went back to the house and checked the guests. They were all there, unwounded, and accounted for, except the witch. According to the local chief of police, who was, I suspected, slowly turning into a toad, she had flown away on her broom. I went upstairs, found a mirror, and began checking my nose for warts.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Are they saying this about you? There goes somebody who's really well-groomed. And that can go for every member of your family if they spruce up each day with Wild Root Cream Oil. Wild Root is America's favorite hair tonic because it grooms hair neatly and naturally. Wild Root Cream Oil relieves dryness, removes loose dandruff. If your family hasn't tried it, get Wild Root Cream Oil in the new 25-cent bottle. You'll see why Wild Root Cream Oil hair tonic is, again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too. And now, back to the All Hallows' Eve caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
By dawn the next day, Jerome T. Becker, boy police chief of the wealthy but sleepy Peninsula suburb, hadn't sweated anything out of his 20-odd suspects but yawns. The family lawyer, Langdon, had an old gun permit, but no gun. Then the chief canvassed the surrounding area for Wilma's 18 jilted suitors. They were all alibied by their respective wives and or children, which did away with that idea. We learned that Wilma carried no insurance. Nobody, it seemed, stood to gain anything by her death. And nobody but you, Mr. Bright, actively disliked her. About that time, Chief Becker put Ophelia back in the question box.
Now look here, Mrs. Fairley. I'll give you one more chance to come clean with us.
Oh, yes, I see. The ashtrays. I'll call the maid.
You come back here!
Oh, yes, Chief Becker.
Now, let's go back over the part of your story where Mr. Spade found the bedsheets hanging out of your window.
Yes?
All right. Why did you tie the bedsheets together and hang them out of the window?
Oh, for a rope.
So, you admit that you used that rope to sneak out?
I did no such thing. I always go out that way at night.
Oh, I give up.
Mrs. Fairley.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Spade. I want to thank you for guarding the pumpkins so well. I didn't see a single mouse all evening.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Fairley. I only did what any self-respecting detective would have done under the circumstances.
Oh, why is Chief Becker so angry with me?
I think what's bothering him, Mrs. Fairley, is why you closed the window after you went out on your rope.
Oh, so that no one would know. Wilma worries about me. You won't tell her, will you?
Aha! It's as plain as the nose on your face, Spade. She's working on an insanity plea.
Look, Chief, why don't you lay off her? That shot took a marksman. There was no exit wound. The bullet just punctured the wall of the heart and stopped. It was a low-velocity impact.
Sure, it was a... What?
It had been fired from about the maximum range of a .38 caliber pistol. The killer had to figure on the drop in trajectory as the bullet slowed down. It was either a carefully planned trick shot or one that just happened to connect accidentally.
By the way, we only have your word for it that you were in here in the house when those shots were fired. You carry a .38, don't you, Spade?
What kind of gun do you carry, Chief?
Yeah. Well, we'd better wait until Ballistics sends back a report on the slug. Gee, if I could only figure out where she hid the gun.
Don't look now, Chief, but the long-lost witch has returned.
Say there, pretty boy. Where have you been? I've been looking all over for you mortals.
Where have you been? There's been a murder here, and we're trying to conduct an investigation. You have a lot of explaining to do. Why did you fly away like that last night?
I had to see to my cauldron. A good thing I did, too. Look what I found in it. No wonder my manifestation didn't work. There was base metal in my brew.
.38 caliber base metal at that. Three bullets fired.
That settles it. You're under arrest.
Who, me?
No, her.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll put a spell on you. I will. I'll turn you into a toad.
Chief, where's that gun permit you found in Langdon's room?
Say, I forgot about that. I've got it here in my pocket.
Let's check that serial number.
Well?
They match. It's Langdon's gun.
Well, that does it. At last, we're getting someplace. All I got to do is bring him in here, and I'll have him broken down in no time.
That's what you think. Don't forget, he's a lawyer. I headed for the woods, found the spot where I'd seen the figure in white crouching just before the shots were fired. Just a little farther back in the woods, I found footprints, French heels, short strides. Following along behind them was another set, flat soles, longer strides. The male footprints followed the female footprints almost to the clearing and then stopped. The female footprints went on, straight to the spot where Wilma had fallen. I knew that no woman had been over the trail since the murder, except the witch, who probably had cloven hoofs. Her cauldron had vanished, but the fire was still smoldering. I kicked through the ashes. I didn't know what I was looking for until I found it. I raked it out with a stick and pushed it free of the embers. The charred outer layers crumbled away. It had been a raging bonfire, but there are few things harder to burn than a telephone book. The middle pages were yellowed from the heat and seared around the edges, but they were still intact, and there was a hole punched through the middle of each page. I had a hunch that the ballistics report would show that Langdon's gun did not fire the fatal bullet. As it turned out, I was right, but for the wrong reasons.
Well, you can't get around it, Chief. Ballistics don't lie. You can see right here. You don't even need a magnifying glass. Take a look there.
I don't have my glasses with me.
Well, you can feel it, man. There's two big ridges in a test slug. The other one's almost smooth. Rust bits wouldn't make a ridge like that. I figure they must have used a faulty cutter at the factory when they rifled the barrel.
Well, that settles it. That and those woman's footprints and that phone book, they all point to Mrs. Fairley.
What's that about a phone book?
Whoever shot her fired the slug through a phone book to make it look like a long-range job. It was a low-velocity hit, all right, but it was ripping through the phone book that slowed it down.
Which proves the killer didn't have to be a marksman. Stood right next to her. What's so funny?
This picture in the morning paper. You and those bubble dancers, Chief.
Let me see that. They can't do this. It's libelous.
It's more than that.
What?
Look, there in the background, Langdon and Mrs. Fairley.
What about them?
Their shoes. Langdon is dressed as Louis XIV, French heels. Mrs. Fairley and her daughter were in Greek goddess costumes, sandals, flat heels.
First it's Langdon's gun, then it's not Langdon's gun. It's a long-range shot, then it's through a big catalog.
Phone book.
Now it's a man in women's shoes, an attorney at that. Monahan, get me some fingerprints, some hard evidence, something I can work with.
I couldn't blame the chief. The somersaulting clues were making me dizzy, too. So far, Langdon, like the good lawyer he was saying nothing. That didn't mean anything, one way or the other. And that was smart. But he had disposed of his gun in the witch's cauldron, which was stupid. A, because it was sure to be found, and B, because there was no reason for hiding it anyway. But too stupid sometimes make us smart. If he wanted it to be found, he must have a story ready in case he had to talk. If I were in that spot, my story would be that I'd fired those shots into the woods after the fleeing killer. But I don't know how I would explain the fact that only three shots were heard, one of which killed Wilma. And then I thought of those two ridges and that test slug, and things began to add up. It was as simple as one and one make two. Two ridges, two shots into the woods. This time, I did know what I was looking for. They were buried deep in the soft trunk of a pine tree near the ground. I dropped to my knees and dug. I got the first one out and was looking at it. It was a misshapen hunk of lead, but something embedded in the side glittered in the sun like a diamond. In fact, it was a diamond. And then it stopped glittering. Something behind me had come between it and the sun. I dropped on my side and rolled fast. I grabbed his legs and tripped him, and then I saw his face. It was Langdon. I was halfway to my feet when he kicked me where it hurt, and my legs doubled up. I tried to keep moving and get my gun out at the same time. Langdon was on his feet again before I was, so I fired from flat on my back. I only nicked him, but it stopped Langdon for a second. And then he swung his gun up again. I saw a pointed black hat. Something flashed in the sun. And Langdon collapsed.
I put a spell on him, I did. With this here magic wand. Blunt instrument to you, Sonny.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mrs. Witch.
Gunch is my name, son. Witch is my profession.
Yeah, well, before you fly away again, how about going up to the house and asking that boy police chief to come out and pick up our friend Langdon here?
Oh, no, you don't. I'm not having any more to do with him and his infernal quest.
I'm sure he'll want you around for his final report.
I'm leaving, Sonny. I got to get back to my regular job.
The chief's not going to be too happy about it.
I'm leaving. And you don't try to stop me. I'll turn you into a toad. You don't believe me, do you? Happy toad, turn whitey and green. You feel anything?
Go home and gargle. Period. End of report.
But, Sam, what did you mean about a bullet with a diamond in it?
Hmm? Oh, you see, Langdon fired two shots into the woods, remember?
Yeah.
Those two bullets had diamond insets, so placed that they would gouge the inside of the gun barrel. So all bullets fired from the gun later would have markings different than the one in Wilma's body.
Oh! Well, he was wrong, of course, but it was noble of him to want to cover up for poor old Ophelia.
What for, Effie?
Well, she killed her daughter, of course, because she just ran out of patience with her, getting engaged and unengaged all the time and until they hadn't a friend in the world.
Is that so?
That was the motive, wasn't it, Sam?
That's fairly bright, sweetheart, except that Mrs. Fairley did not kill her daughter.
Oh?
Langdon did.
You mean Wilma was his daughter, too?
Go type that up, sweetheart, before I turn you into a toad.
Of course, you know best, but Mrs. Fairley was the only one with a motive, unless Mr. Bright was secretly in love with her and wanted to marry her himself.
So he killed her? That was Fairley Bright.
I know. Her fiancé did it. No? Well, what happened to him?
He woke up and went home.
Oh. Well, I guess he didn't have a motive anyway.
Pay attention, sweetheart. Homer Langdon, as attorney and trustee of the Fairley Estate, had embezzled large sums of money from Wilma's trust fund, which he would have to account for under the community property law, if she got married.
If she got married.
He had already broken up many of her romances, but when Mrs. Fairley went soft in the head, he decided to end the possibility once and for all. With Wilma out of the way, he could handle the old lady any way he wanted to, and there'd be nobody to contradict him. Are you listening, F?
Hmm?
Are you following this?
Sam, what does she do between Halloweens?
The witch? She's an all-night disc jockey. What else?
Oh, really? That's nice. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced by Richard Scott. Gene DiCarto is Sam Spade. Diane Smitham is Effie. Also in tonight's cast were Tony Flores, Del Bubel, Joe Friedland, Lloyd Nesbitt, and Robert Lye. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd and directed by Dave Amaral. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer Richard Scott join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men, women, and children, too. Now, this is Carter B. Smith reminding you to
get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream Oil Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie, keeping all the gals away. Hiya, Baldy. Get Wild Root right away.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.